Download the Fresh FM app on your Android phone, tablet to listen to Fresh FM
anywhere in the world.
To download, go to Google Play Store and App Store. Search for Fresh FM Nigeria. Select the icon, tap, and install for free. Follow the on-screen instructions, complete the installation, and get our content anywhere under the sun in real time. The Fresh FM radio app is all in one. You can listen live, watch us live, see our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram posts, and news updates. The Fresh FM Nigeria mobile app can be downloaded on Android and iOS. As you use the Fresh FM app, review and rate our app. We're available 24/7 for more updates. Thank you for choosing Fresh as the best with Ocrest.
Ṣẹ́tùntìdẹ́. Ẹ̀yẹ̀gbẹ́ tí ẹ mà kú àlejò afẹ́fẹ́ ẹ̀yọ ọmọ Nàìjíríà nílẹ̀ yìí àti lókè òkun. Ẹ tún kú àmójúpa àwọn kanranjágbọ̀n awọ̀ kí ló máa tọ́kùn méjì. Àwọn àbejì àtọ́dá adẹ́rìn pòsónú Ààrẹ Ọlálọ́mí Àmọ̀lé Anígilayà bí ìbọn àti akọ́mọláfẹ́ ọláìyá Igwe Bọ̀bọ́ ẹlẹ́nu rẹ́sọ̀ lórí ètò tá a pè ní Omu Yes.
Ìkànnì Fresh FM Abeokuta 107.9 láti máa gbọ́ wọn ní gbogbo ọjọ́ Àlàmísì Thursday láago mẹ́sàn-án sí aago mọ́kànlá òwúrọ̀ wákàtí méjì Sunday. Àti kẹ́yìn ó dènà pé torí ẹ̀rín àárín sẹ̀yọ sára.
Àgbàdà tó ń tẹ̀fẹ̀ tó nítumọ̀ ni wọ́n fi kọ́kọ́ máa kí n kú lé.
Gbélé kọ́gbọ́n lábalẹ̀ kejì níbi tá a ti máa tún pẹrẹpẹrẹ láàrin ẹbí.
Ẹ ṣàlàyé ńlábalẹ̀ kẹta lórí ètò níbi tí ẹ̀yin onílé iṣẹ́ ńláńlá tó fi dórí ẹ̀yin olóṣèlú láti wá ṣàlàyé kí lẹ gbé dání tá ẹ fẹ́ kára ló mọ̀ tí ó sì fi mú yes.
Abala kẹrin ni bẹ́ẹ̀ ni bẹ́ẹ̀ kọ́ ọ̀rọ̀ balẹ̀ ta ṣàràṣàrà ibẹ̀ ni wọ́n ti máa ṣàgbékalẹ̀ àwọn ọ̀rọ̀ tó ń fi dùgbẹ̀dùgbẹ̀ láàrin ìlú bí bẹ́ẹ̀ kọ́ tẹ́ ẹ̀ mọ sọ ìhà tó kọ sí yín.
Omu Yes ni 107.9 Fresh FM Abeokuta kò ṣe é má gbọ́ ètò ni.
Welcome to Fresh 107.9 FM. We educate, we inform, we entertain, we play feel-good music.
Your kind of music, all day, all night, right here on your Wallabalu station.
Wallabalu Fresh, Fresh, Fresh.
Girl, I just want me rock, girl, I just want me rock.
3, 2, 1. Yo, my name is M.I. I always give you 100%, nothing less. And when it comes to hip-hop, you know M.I. is the best. And let me tell you, my lyrics and my thoughts, they mesh. And the best station is Fresh.
Fresh.
Fresh. FM.
We can do better. Oh yeah, we can do better. I know it hurt bad. Your mom left you dead when you were a little girl. You think I'm gonna leave, 'cause history repeats. We've seen it around the world. Well, all that we're told is this, so get old, we'll cheat, and we'll both get hurt. Against all the odds, we'll pray to the gods that this love works.
When all we see is bad blood and mistakes, all we hear is sad songs but heartbreaks. And no matter how long it takes, we're not gonna give up.
We can do better. We can do better. We might drink too much and say things we shouldn't say. Forgive and forget, for we go to bed and we're gonna be okay. Some people pretend it's not gonna end and then up and walk away. But that isn't me, I'm not gonna leave, I'm here to stay.
When all we see is bad blood and mistakes, all we hear is sad songs but heartbreaks. And no matter how long it takes, we're not gonna give up.
We can do better. We can do better. And nothing lasts forever. We can do better. I'm not worried, 'cause the thing is, we can do better.
when all we see is bad blood and mistakes. All we hear is sad songs about heartbreaks. And no matter how long it takes, we're not gonna give up. We can do better.
Fresh from 107.9 Configurator.
We can do better.
It's a beautiful Wednesday morning right here in the city of Abeokuta. You're welcome to the show. This is the platform on Nigeria's number one radio station, Fresh 107.9 FM, Abeokuta. My name is Benga Oreshegun. And this Forbes, indulge me for just an hour. Let's talk Nigeria. And a lot has been happening, okay? And this week, you know, we saw the rise in a state of insecurity in the country, particularly the Federal Capital Territory, Abuja. The FCT, as we all know, is not just any place. It is the capital of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. And we've been hearing reports of insecurity in that region. And hearing reports from that region, it should be a cause of concern. Cause of concern to not just me, but to everyone. And the rising case of kidnapping in the FCT is really worrisome, most especially, you know, for the families of the victims. And the most recent, the crowdfunding, 700 million naira. The question is, how did we get here? Although it is not new, you will recall that the Kuje attacks during former President Muhammadu Buhari administration, and also the terrorist attack on the Brigade of Guards as well. So even on the roads leading to Abuja, the security situation there, talking about the Kaduna-Abuja Road Expressway, the Lokoja-Abuja Expressway, the Nasarawa-Abuja Road. You know, been hearing all sorts. Kidnapping, abduction of persons in Abuja satellite towns. But I'm not going to be doing the conversation alone. On the show, we shall be looking at the political situation in the country. You know, there's been talks about plans for 2027. So these are many more work we shall be looking at on the show. And we have joining us right here via telephone a public affairs analyst and also a social commentator, Achike Achide. Achike Achide, good morning and welcome to the platform.
Yeah, Benga, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yes, good morning. Good morning. And can I say Happy New Year to you as well?
Yeah, and I should return the same thing.
All right, Chiki. Yeah. So let's have this conversation real quick. Let's start from the recent rise in security situation in the country, you know, most especially in the Federal Capital Territory, the crowdfunding to settle kidnappers. Are you worried? Are we losing the fight against this non-state actors? Chiki, are you worried?
I have been worried. I'm not worried. I have been
you
worried
have been
for
worried.
A very long time. I have been worried, and every reasonable Nigerian who values human life,
okay,
who values societal stability and harmony, should be worried that things are getting out of hand, because all of us are threatened,
okay,
you know, by the ability of bad actors, bad non-state actors,
okay,
to cause harm to society, and to get away with it. It emboldens others,
okay,
to follow in their footsteps, until the rank of, you know, people who do not mean well for the society increases to such an extent that our security forces find it very difficult to handle them. And I think we've gotten to that level where some of us can comfortably say, but unfortunately, sadly say,
okay,
that our security apparatus, you know, in the country has been overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed?
Because if they are not overwhelmed, these things will not be happening with the frequency and rapidity with which it is happening. And don't also forget that in as much as we are hearing these stories,
okay,
you know, the ones we are hearing are the ones we are hearing.
How about the ones not being reported?
Yes, there are many that are not. And so, you know, when you hear that maybe 2-3 people have been kidnapped,
okay,
it is probably out of 10 people that have been kidnapped. So you are hearing about 2-3. Maybe because somehow they have access to the media.
To the media.
Or they find themselves in such a way, such in a place where the report can easily be made.
Okay.
You know, or that the magnitude of the havoc or the chaos that has been caused or the damage that has been caused is such that there's no way you can, it can go unreported. Like what happened in Plateau.
Okay.
Over 160, 100, 200 people.
Just like
difficult,
that.
If not impossible to hide it. But perhaps if 2-3 people, unknown people who are not very, you know, important,
okay,
have been kidnapped or killed in some of these places, we might not get to hear of it. You know, so this is the problem. And so this is more than worrying.
Does this not call for the case of restructuring state police?
No, this is when you are talking about a solution. And because the reality is, as they say, you can't keep on doing the same thing and hope that you get a different result. So if the federal government, for instance, has been saddled with internal security, using the security, DSS and other security apparatus, and they are not able to deliver, what it means is that you need to change tactics.
Okay.
You need to begin to think differently about, you perhaps need a new structure or infrastructure on ground to be able to tackle this issue.
Okay.
The federal government has been overwhelmed. And you see, this is where statesmanship is needed.
Okay.
And you know, the contradiction of the Tinubu administration is the fact that long before now, under the PDP,
yes,
from Obasanjo to Jonathan, it had been the, even before 1999, but especially after 1999, it had been the element of the AD, you know, and then the RACN that have been clamoring more than any other part of this country, more than any other group in this country, for restructuring of this country. They have been clamoring for state police, fiscal, federalism,
fiscal
and all that. They had the one. So when they came into power in 2015, people felt, well, there are elements within the APC that have been in the forefront of the call for restructuring.
Yes.
Here we get these things done. And then the vice president is part of that, group.
Yes.
Who have also been talking about the need for to restructure through federalism and the rest. And nothing was done, absolutely nothing. President Buhari, set up something. It was just, for the public.
Yeah, they said restructuring of the mind.
We are doing something. And then, no, they actually put something on ground and they made L5.
Yes.
Chairman of that committee, they submitted their reports. It was thrown somewhere to gather dust. So nothing has happened. But you will now think that with the Tinubu presidency, since he has been in the forefront of those clamoring for restructuring, that he is now in a better position because he's in charge of the country to bring some of these ideas to fruition.
Okay.
But so far, nothing has happened.
Okay.
Perhaps it is still early days. Perhaps they are still new.
True. All right, still talking about...
It's not even talking about it because, look, the issue, of state police has become much more relevant today than ever before. And don't forget that it has always, when you talk about restructuring, the major opposition to restructuring in this country has always come from the north.
From the north?
Always, from the very, unequivocally, they have been... against it. So where you have, for instance, the Afeniferi championing it, you have Pandev from the South championing it.
Okay.
You also have Okaneze and then the Middle Belt Forum all talking about the need to restructure and all of that and to get our politics right. The North has always resisted it because obviously they felt that they might be at the receiving end. I don't know, for whatever reason.
Okay.
Now, as a result of this security under the Buhari administration, when the governors were now being harassed, thoroughly harassed in their states by bandits and terrorists, they now began to sing a new tune to begin to welcome the idea of a state police.
Okay.
So right now, I think it will be easier for the Bola Tinubu Ahmed Tinubu administration to publicly, officially begin to talk about the issue of state police. Because it has gained ground. And those people who were previously opposed to it, for the purpose of...
They are now seeing reasons for
security, yes, for the reason of insecurity in their state that they cannot handle, that the federal government cannot handle. Now they are now seeing the need for state police. So it is the right time to begin to talk about it.
Okay. All right, Achike, if you were to advise the president, how should we handle this issue of insecurity, especially in the FCT and its fringes? Talk about the satellite towns. Is it by sacking the service chiefs, or should heads roll because it has gotten to this point?
Yeah, you see, when we say this, and again, we run the risk of giving the impression that some people are more important than others, but that some people in particular parts of the country are more important than others.
Okay.
Because if we say insecurity and we say particularly the FCT, why should we say particularly with the FCT?
No, it's the seat of power. No,
I cannot agree, because you see, when we look at it from that perspective, then it means that every other part of this country is not exactly as important. It means that the lives of the people in the Federal Capital Territory is more important than the lives of people even in the rural areas of Nigeria. You know, Bomosho, in Onitsha, in
Otisku,
and other parts of the country. And so I've heard people in the media, but I think again, you can't blame them, because if insecurity is so bad, you know, in Abuja, really, people will now ask, you can imagine what is happening in other parts of the country. So that if you get it right in Abuja, then perhaps maybe you're doing something in other parts of the country. So I understand the emphasis on Abuja. But what I'm just trying to say is that we should also be careful, so we don't try to give the impression that once Abuja is secure, then other parts of the country, they are not so important.
Okay, so what should the president do right now? Is it let the heads roll, the security chiefs, they can't handle it, bring in new hands, or what?
You know, well, it's a difficult one for the president.
Okay.
Because he don't forget, just like Buhari campaigned, you know, on the basis of part of his campaign was the issue of security. And keeping Nigerians safe. And he seems to be failing in that direction.
Okay.
Because if you're having this insecurity to this extent, then he's failing. And we must not play over the words. He's failing. And that's why people are beginning to talk, because this is close to home. This is, like you said, Abuja is the capital of the country,
yes,
and is the seat of power, where you think that all the security agencies, that's where they are. So if these people can come in at will and do whatever they want to do and go, that means that all that parts of the country are unsafe. So what does the president do? There are different things that can be done.
Okay.
But you know, for Nigerians, when these things happen the way they've been happening, we start shouting for heads to roll. The people in charge of the security agencies must be sacked and others replaced.
Okay.
And to be replaced by others to teach a lesson to those people. But we have to ask ourselves, really, how well-funded are they? What kind of logistics are available to them?
Okay.
The how many helicopters, for instance, or helicopter gunships does the Nigerian police have? Because if a country like Nigeria, you would expect that this country will have, you know, at least in every state in this country, the Nigerian police will have at least two helicopters,
yes,
operational helicopters.
Exactly.
And that for the federal capital, we should have maybe not less than 15 or 10, as it is now. Because, for instance, you can imagine for the Nigerian army, you can imagine, for instance, what happened in Plateau State.
Yes.
It took hours to deploy. It took hours. And they were talking about terrain. Terrains are difficult. So you can't get to this and that. Why would you be talking about uneven terrains when you have helicopters that can move in, you know, special strike forces or SWAT teams within minutes? By air, you're already there, you've already landed, you've parachuted yourself or whatever into the surrounding areas, and then you begin to see how you can engage with these people. So these are some of these. So again, it is good to blame them. I mean, it's one thing to blame them, but it's another thing to ask how many, you know, what kind of operational, you know, gadgets and facilities logistic support they have to be able for them to be able to do the job.
Okay. Now talking
first of all, okay. as it is, okay. so let me just make this okay. point. As it is, the Nigerian police
okay.
has about maybe 300, maybe tens of the numbers, maybe about 300 and something thousand policemen
okay.
in this country. Nigeria should not have less than maybe about 800,000.
True.
So Nigeria is grossly under-policed. That's one thing.
Hmm.
So when it comes to numbers, they are not even there.
Hmm.
And then, even when with the ones that we have, how many of them are attached,
okay.
you know, to politicians and to the elites for the purpose of protection? Every inspector general of police that comes in, one of the first things they do is that.
Oh, we are withdrawing.
Policemen. We are withdrawing. Thank you. Every time we are pulling down, we are stopping the roadblocks, we are going to withdraw and the rest.
Okay.
And we Nigerians know that it's just talk. Because in a matter of a few weeks, you will see them, you know, being attached to some of the big men in the country.
Okay.
So these are some. So now I'm beginning to think that just sacking and replacing might not be all that is needed
until the fundamental things are sorted.
Yeah, there are fundamental things, first of all. Yes, you cannot rule out the issue of incompetence. There's
okay.
no doubt about that. So when it's a matter of incompetence, you do your probe or whatever,
okay.
then you remove and you change. But make sure that it's like giving a worker, telling a farmer, somebody to go to the farm to till the land. You don't give him the tools to work with. And then what do you expect him to achieve?
Okay.
And they are doing a lot under very great difficulties.
Now,
same thing with the army.
Achuke, talking about tools, the former Minister for Digital Economy and Communications, Isaac Mantami, said that he's frustrated that the security agencies are not making use of the National Identification Numbers and Subscriber Identification Module Linkage Policy, the NIN SIM Linkage Policy, to track terrorists in the country. What are your thoughts here?
You know, I think it's excuses the man is providing. I think it's excuses because
it's excuses.
I think so to some extent. Let me try to explain myself.
Okay.
And there might be some truth in it. I won't dismiss everything you say.
Okay.
You know, Issa Patani came in as minister under a cloud of controversy.
Yes.
Because people said he was a religious fanatic.
Yes.
He had shown support to Al Qaeda, you know, at the time to the Taliban and to ISIS. You know, so people felt that this man cannot be trusted, especially with a very sensitive position as minister of digital, you know, technology
yes.
in the country. That would be in charge of our identity card and all that. And people were saying, look, because of his sympathy and because of the affiliation some of them have, some Fulanis in Nigeria have with some Fulanis outside of Nigeria, that they will just generally extend our, you know, registration facilities to non-Nigerian Fulanis, and that would be dangerous for the country.
Yeah, the rumors were really rife at the time.
Yes, because by that time we're already having incursions into parts of the north
okay.
by these outside Fulanis attacking, you know, Nigerians from across the border. So that it was dangerous. But eventually the government told us that he had repaired them. You know, and so I don't know how I was thinking that only God knows who has repented, because repentance is a matter of the soul, of the mind.
Exactly.
You know, a man does not repent by just saying, I have repented. It's like repentant militants that they were forgiven. Somebody comes out and brings a gun and says, I have repented. And then we saw what happened in Zamfara. The people who had repented, after some time, they went back
to the forest.
Because repentance is a thing of the mind. It's not something you see physically.
Hmm.
You know, so with regards to what he said, at what point did you notice that the military was not using these facilities and the police to track these terrorists? At what point did you notice? Because he just left power about 8 months or 9 months ago.
Exactly.
He was in power. They had done some of these things already before the government, the elections happened, and then
okay.
they all left power.
Hmm.
So when did you notice that they were not using the technology that they had provided through the new registration? If it happened during his time, what did he do?
Okay.
If the army, for instance, did not know how to, you know, use the military did not know how to use the facility, that would be strange, because this is a military also, where they have people who use sophisticated military hardware, like wars. These are, I mean, you also have, I mean, the Air Force, the flight planes, the Navy, the Navy people, they run their boats, their naval boats. So how can you now tell us that you don't have the people with knowledge who will be able to use that? Yes. And even if they did not produce that, they do arrange a training program for them, your ministry, for the army and for the police on how to use this. And then if not, did you deploy experts from your ministry?
Okay.
Or people that were trained to help them to assist in the use of this technology.
Mm.
So if none of these things were done, I think it's sheer hypocrisy. He's just trying to look for where to let them.
Okay.
That's the way I think, because it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
There's nobody. The people do a lot of things with their phones. These phones are technological.
Exactly. All right. If you just joined us, it's still The Platform. We're having a conversation with Achike Chude, a public affairs analyst and a social commentator. Now, let's move away from security and let's also talk about another big elephant in the room that, you know, we've been talking about since last week. Let's talk about the Edugate. The Dr. Beta Edu and the Olubunmi Tunju Ojo, the Code of Conduct Tribunal, yesterday we heard that they invited the Minister for Interior over the 448 million naira scandal, and I also heard from another source said that the Olubunmi Tunju Ojo did not go, you know, should not go to see the CCB. But let's talk a little bit about Olubunmi Tunju Ojo here. Looking at the good works this minister has been doing in the Interior Ministry, most especially in the area of passport collection, prison decongestion. You know, many Nigerians have been dropping all sort of encomiums, accolades at his doorstep. And now, this issue. Because of his performance, do you think the minister will survive this? Do you think Nigerians should just let go and say, okay, because you've been doing good? Or the president will say that, okay, because you've been doing good, let's just, you know, give him a slap on the wrist and let him continue his good works. What are your thoughts on that?
The president will be seen as biased if he doesn't do to him what he did with Beta Edu.
Okay.
Beta Edu, is she not a Nigerian? Is she not fall foul of the law? Why would she be, you know, suspended? And Bunmi Ojo is told to go before the CCB. Is it because Beta Edu is expendable, that she's a small fish, that perhaps it does not have any political capital, and therefore, you know, a more serious punishment should be meted to her.
But looking at the good works he's been doing,
you cannot, because before now, people also were under the impression that Beta Edu was doing a lot of good works at the Ministry of Maintenance Affairs. Look, I had a program, a TV program, sometime ago, where I was, you know, they tried to get me to acknowledge that some people, you know, appointed by the government were doing good. Who do I single out? And I said, I cannot, but these are people that are public officers who are working with public money to carry out their responsibility.
They are doing their job.
They are doing their job. So, but one of the panelists, you know, singled out two people in the Tinubu administration and said that they are doing extremely very well. You understand that he's impressed with what they are doing. One of them was Beta Edu. The other one was Ojo. Two of them. These are the two people that are involved in this crisis. Look, when we give the impression that because somebody has done good today, and when he now does that, something that is inimical to the interests of the country, we should allow him to remain.
To face the mise.
After he did good, you are sending a message.
Okay.
You understand? You are sending a message, especially when there were two people who were involved in one way or the other in the scandal. One maybe more direct than the other. The other one benefited from it. His company benefited from it. He's not a small boy. He's a politician. He knows. Did he influence the contract that went to his company? Even if he says he's no longer so much technically involved in the company. But when the company is going to share dividends, part of the dividends will be the money they have made, the money that was paid to the company. So he will benefit from it. So there's a conflict of interest somewhere. So why would you now make a move against that? It's the principle of fairness and equity. What is good for the goose must be good for the gander.
True.
So you cannot, you know, exonerate him, and then while Petra Edu stands and redacted, then it becomes you know, a judgment that is based on sentiment for whatever reason. You know, and don't forget that when people were trying to use sentiment for Petra Edu, you know, she's a woman, she's young.
People were
people can use these arguments too. She's a woman, how many women are in the government, she's young, young people should be encouraged, and then she's from the South minority, and all these are unreasonable sentiments.
Okay.
What has been from the South South got to do with that? Did the people of the South South send that to go and steal money?
Exactly.
Did the women in Nigeria send that to go and steal money on their behalf? And did the young people also tell her to go and do by the government so that we can use it as an excuse to say, you know, it's a young person?
Okay.
So this is the same thing should go to the new game. Anybody that argues otherwise, I think, is not trying to be fair. Mm. He has done good, it doesn't matter. I mean, people do good all the time, but when you fall foul of the law,
yes, you should face the means.
Look, let me put it this way.
Okay.
If somebody is brought before a court, you know, on a matter,
yes,
and then, you know, at the end of the day, she's found guilty.
Mm.
You know what the judge does? It's at that moment that his lawyer makes a case for him. He tells the judge, look, judge, we understand that we found guilty of this. But please, if you want to sentence him, consider the fact that this man is a good father.
Yes.
Consider the fact that this man, you know, this is the first time he's committing this offense. Mm. He has been a good citizen all this while. You understand? So these are what we call mitigating circumstances.
Okay.
Circumstances that will lead to a reduction in the punishment that will be given to him. The judge will remember that there are serial violators of our laws, but that this man somehow fell foul of the law for the very first time. You don't punish him with a sledgehammer. A repeat offender, not a professional, somebody who gets himself into trouble professionally, is a professional troublemaker. You can exact maximum punishment on such a person.
Yeah.
But for the first person, you don't say because he has not done it before, let him go free. No. Because he has not done it before, let us be lenient when we are punishing him, but he must be punished.
Okay. All right. Still talking about the humanitarian ministry and the financial recklessness that went on, especially in the last administration. Do you support that the ministry be scrapped?
It has become a nest of vipers. a beehive of corruption, a cesspool of corruption. And it's not small money they are talking about.
True.
Billions and billions of naira. I mean, it's damning. It is. Even after this, you know, newspaper reports also have it that the president approved a sum of 3 billion naira to better it through the chief of staff, Bajabi Amila, who did a note to the president to release the sum of, to approve the sum of 3 billion naira to better aid to the Ministry of Humanitarian Affairs for the purpose of verifying the register, humanitarian register, to verify the number of people on the register, 3 billion. You see how they spend money, 3 billion.
3 billion,
just like that. You know the way they mentioned this money, and yet the ordinary person on the street, if you give him 10,000 naira, now the ordinary Nigerian, if you give him 10,000 naira, he will go and do a special Thanksgiving in church.
And 3 billion is just mentioned like that.
Give him 50,000 naira, and he or she goes crazy because they never expected that they can have this kind of money under the present circumstance. But we are hearing of billions of naira. People are dying in poverty. To verify people, you know, so it's crazy. That ministry is obviously the president has instituted a coup into the ministry. That is a move in the right direction. He had no choice. He just has to do it because it has become an embarrassment to him, you know, and an indictment of the former administration of Muhammadu Buhari.
Okay.
A lot of these things happened under him and have continued under this present administration.
So, in your opinion, should it be scrapped or let it stay? Or reviewed? Or restructured?
I think that, you see, the aspect that I don't like is this, I think it's simpler. the national social whatever, I think, you know, where they give money to people, you know, one other area where these people can easily loot the treasury, pay money, is to say that they are giving Nigerians 5,000, 10,000, 20,000. That money, most Nigerians know, will end up in private pockets. Only very few people will have access to it.
Okay.
How many million Nigerians? How did you identify? Because within 4 or 5 months of this administration, they said they had identified how many, some million of millions of households in this country that are very poor, vulnerable, and the rest. How did you identify them and all that?
All right.
You know, so these are some of the issues. So I think that the ministry really has to go. Sometimes you have to destroy in order to
exactly.
So you need to say, let us reform.
Okay.
There are just too many problems, inconsistencies. Perhaps you pull it down first.
All right.
And then start from the beginning.
Let's start from the beginning. All right, Achuke, please just stay on the line. We need to go on this quick break. And when we're back, we're going to talk 2027. Don't touch that radio. It is still the plan.
9079777
Arriva torin talujo to gayata lati owo Babatunde Kazeem Olaya Kezi Wonder
Ai family lebuji eh sari ko giga o daga
omo ton so ni gboro aye pelu edo kirin to ni tumo oya e tun gba
olulu si anybody
oya boga gojo
Kezi Wonder tun fori gba awon lesson ni moran pe ko ye kesi o le faja rara be gele lo kori lori ori
ori la la maru ori
ẹwo ta lo so pe ko poke arrival ore fuji to koja be monday february 5 ni o jade faraye gbo lakata ileise A1 media network limited agba producer laiwola adisa lo produce bo se wa lori cd lo wa lori audio mark pelu apple music lati salagbata re e le pe ileise A1 sori number 0902-961-2301 arrival ore tutu latowo Kezi Wonder ebo witiwiti ke tun download e laarin opolopo bọlọrun fe orin ni
All right, we're back on radio. It is still the platform on Nigeria's number one radio station, Fresh 107.9 FM. Abeokuta. We still have Achuke Chude right here on. He joined us via telephone. Achuke, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
All right, so Achuke, let's talk 2027 now. It's just 3 years away, but we've been hearing of some political realignments here and there, and they've begun mainly in the opposition camp and been hearing stories of a merger, you know, the merger between the PDP, the Labour Party and the NNPP, which is the New Nigeria People's Party. What are your thoughts? Is it the merger? Is it enough to wrestle power from the ruling party come 2027? What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, you know, I think it's just the natural consequence of where the politicians have found themselves, especially the politicians of the opposition parties.
Okay.
And in this case, the PDP, the Labour Party, and then the NNPP. And obviously, what we have seen is that if you want to remove an incumbent because of the enormous powers available to the incumbent, sometimes you need to have a coalition of politicians and full politicians, powerful politicians from other groups, into your fold,
Okay.
So that you can build your capacity and build your strength to be able to face the challenges. And don't forget that an incumbent government, whether at the state level or at the national level, has enormous resources at its disposal.
Okay.
And then they can deploy these resources at will to affect the fortunes of an election. And I think that one way of trying to counter that is to build also a powerful force and momentum also that will attract the right amount of resources that can also be used to counter some of the moves of the dominant or the ruling political party. But obviously, there are other things that an opposition, even if you have a coalition, there are other things that you don't have under your control. You don't have the INEC, provided that, if the INEC is not exactly seen to be independent.
Okay.
You don't have the security forces, especially if the security forces are not impartial during an election process. And we know that in Africa, where you have quasi democracies, you do not have independent INECs or electoral commissions all over the continent, maybe in just one or two places, but in about 80-85% of the countries in Africa. That is why elections become so hotly contested after the elections.
Some will call it federal might.
Yes, of course. Of course, that's what I'm saying. Because we have not built enduring democracies in those places.
Okay.
And so lack of a credible election, for instance, are consequences of not building that kind of enduring democracy that is needed. And so also what the opposition does, I think it's good. Based on their calculation, they need to build their strength. And that would be good for them, because you're not having, for instance, I can't remember exactly how many states that the PDP, that's under the control of the PDP.
Yes.
But you now have the NNPP having a state in Kano, and then Labour Party having a state in Abia State. So that would also help. You pull your resources together for the purpose of having a common objective. But those people who want to build alliances, political alliances, should know that the opposition party, that is the party in government, is not going to sleep while you're doing all of that. Because they're also making their own calculations to counter whatever strength you think.
But is it too early to start talking 2027?
No, it's never early. Remember what Jonathan said when Jonathan was making a case for 6 years?
Yes.
For an incumbent, single term of 6 years. He said, because after the first year or so, politics starts.
Okay.
And then governance suffers.
But it's not even so up to a year yet.
But that means that it starts early, because I can tell you that even the president, when he was making his appointment, he was making his appointment based on some political considerations
for 2027,
as well as perhaps some other economic considerations.
Okay.
People were telling him to go for technocrats. But at the end of the day, how many technocrats did he go for?
Okay.
You understand? He still brought back a lot of the political class, because he knows that he's going to need them. The technocrats will not add any significant political advantage or political capital to him.
Okay.
It is the politicians that he has appointed as ministers and they put in other positions.
Okay.
Those are the ones that he can count on to be able to deliver on certain things. When it comes to politics and the elections, so he had to blend it, because he had an eye also in 2027.
Yes.
And people, there are those that will tell you that the first day people get to power is the day they start planning for the next year. So the way the politicians work is the way their mindset is.
All right. Let some persons have argued that Nigerians are not educated enough politically. Most especially in our attitude to demanding our rights from politicians, from governments, from political parties. But Atrique, I want to ask you, is it not a deliberate thing to keep people in the dark? Because I ask, why is it that the job of voter education or political education is only done by INEC and the National Orientation Agency, which is half past dead, and not the political parties. Do you think it's a deliberate thing by the political parties to keep Nigerians in the dark, hence why we are running around in circles?
Look, you see, political parties, look, it's about what is of interest to them. It's about what will work most for them. If you have a slave,
okay,
you know, if you have a slave and you know that it's a good thing to educate the slave, it's a good thing to also ensure that his children are educated. But you know that education, giving him education, will put him in a position to ask you why he is enslaved.
Okay.
Then you don't want him to be educated.
Hmm.
You know, so if the people are educated enough, people have often talked about, you know, hunger being used as a weapon,
okay,
against the ordinary people.
Hmm.
Because, you see, if people are not hungry, they will not be vulnerable to the antics of the politicians when they want to buy their votes.
Okay.
So people have made the argument, whether directly or indirectly, whether consciously or unconsciously, that the political class in Nigeria has placed the people in this situation so that they will be dependent on them.
Hmm.
During election, when they need them,
okay,
and you can testify to the fact, we can testify to the fact that during an election, people look up to the politicians to bring money to them.
Exactly.
You know, I have observed elections in many states in this country.
Yes, yes.
And I have seen, you know, people make demands. In some places, they determine how much they are going to collect from the politicians. You know, and so it's also part of that lack of education, because when you educate them and you educate the people, they will ask you questions about why their society is the way it is, about why the country is the way it is. They will ask you questions about why you want to use religion and tribalism and geopolitics to divide them, when the issues at stake are not religious issues, they are not tribal issues, they are not geopolitical issues. You understand? So the politicians have to use this during an election. When they are in danger of losing an election, they must whip up ethnic sentiment.
Yes.
They must try to whip up religious sentiment.
So, in other words, you think it's a deliberate thing?
Of course, it's deliberate.
Hmm.
It's deliberate because they know it is wrong. They know that when you mobilize the people against one another,
okay,
that it can become a genocidal situation.
Hmm.
That what we had in Rwanda,
yes,
you might set it up for your own selfish motivation. You know, when you begin to look at people who have worked together, who have lived together, who have interacted together over the years with one another, you understand? You Mama Bomboy and Yansikira, Alhaji Audu, and the new here and there.
Okay.
The shoemaker, the petty seller, the patent medicine seller, the driver, they're on their own. They work together on their own. They don't have issues. They don't.
Okay.
You understand? But how come that it is during an election that whatever division that occurs among them is heightened, and it becomes, tribalism becomes an issue, religion becomes an issue, which part of the country they are coming from becomes an issue. It becomes an issue because there are certain people that are profiting from the crisis that they have generated for political expediency.
Okay.
You understand? So leave ordinary people alone. They know how to deal with themselves. They know how to live among themselves.
Okay.
Because they have done that for years.
Hmm.
But the politicians must play that game. And that game is as a result of the ignorance. That's where you come in.
Okay.
What you said. The political ignorance.
People
must be conscious. But when the Nigerians are conscious enough,
they will ask questions
about why this country is the way it is.
Okay.
They understand, and they will take the politicians to task. So that when they are saying it is because of this Hausa person or Calabar person or Yoruba person or Igbo person, so they will tell them, what are you talking about? How can it be because of? We are asking critical questions and you are telling us it is because of these people.
Mm.
You understand? So it's also in their interest, it's also in their nature not to educate the people and to leave them hungry, so that they can be dependent on them. Because there's a saying that it is a man is loyal to the person that puts bread on his table.
Hmm,
even if it is that person that has created the situation,
the
that
situation.
He has found himself in. You know, but when it comes to an election and a man brings 30,000 for a bag of rice, you see him as a god. But he's the one that has taken 200,000 naira from you indirectly since he came to power, because all the money is stealing. It's not the money they are stealing.
Mm.
It's the money that belongs to the Nigerian people, and part of this money belongs to you, the ordinary citizen.
Mm. Okay. Okay. All right. Let's talk about the opposition just for a bit as we gradually coast home. How will you describe the actions of the opposition since President Tinubu, administration started on the 29th of May? How will you assess their activities? Are you impressed that, okay, our opposition, they have a voice, they are criticizing constructively?
I would say so. I think they are not doing enough.
They are not doing enough?
They are beginning to sit up. Look, you don't forget, have you forgotten the opposition, the group that did the opposition to Jonathan and the PDP?
Yeah.
They were much more effective.
Some said they used propaganda.
Because you see, when people, for instance, criticize the present government, they will say opposition should be working with the government for a better Nigeria, a good Nigeria, and all that. That's not the responsibility of an opposition.
Okay.
That's why they call them opposition. You understand? The responsibility of an opposition is to provide alternatives or better alternatives to what the government of the day is doing.
Okay.
Yeah, occasionally they can praise them. Hmm. Because, for instance, I know that Peter Obi, commended the government for the action he took against the president, for the action he took against
Dr. Betaidu, yes,
and asked the president to do more in that direction.
Hmm.
You understand? So it's not as if every time an opposition wants, when the government does certain things that are good, you must support.
Okay.
When your country is at war with a foreign country, the opposition is expected to queue behind the commander in chief and the president of the country,
okay,
whether he's of your party or not, because your country is at war. And that and the need to defend your country is beyond, your own narrow interest as a political party. You have to fight for your defend your country. You have to support the president from another political party.
Hmm.
So what we must not forget that the opposition, the ACN, the APC, when they eventually had that coalition, they hounded the PDP, they hounded Jonathan, until they hounded them out of power.
Okay.
So that is what is expected. Now today they're in power.
Okay.
Even though, again, when you ask yourself, all of those things that they criticized Jonathan and the PDP for, what did they do? Especially during the last eight years of Muhammad Buhari, they took Nigeria from where it was and took Nigeria almost, in my own assessment, almost to the gutters.
Hmm.
So the opposition has a responsibility to provide good, responsible opposition to the government of the day.
Okay.
The constitution of this country gives them that right, gives them that power, and encourages them also to provide a proper, responsible voice of opposition to the government of the day. And that thing has two implications. One, it forces the government of the day, if they are responsive and responsible, to try to do better, because they know that other people are waiting to take power away from them.
Mm.
So it puts them in a position where they say, we can't allow these people to come to power. Therefore, they have to try to work to please the people.
Okay.
The other one is that if they fail, the opposition is waiting to take over.
Sure.
Provided that there is a proper electoral system.
Okay.
But the electoral system is also skewed. Sometimes it makes it difficult, even when you have an opposition that has done its work well, that has been able to mobilize the people, it becomes a problem for that opposition to successfully take over government.
Okay.
Because of the skewed nature of the election in those places.
Okay. All right, then. Thank you so much, Achuke Chude. I really appreciate the conversation you have with me. Thank you so much for your submission this morning.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
All right, then. Say me well to Samuel Adeola as well in Lagos.
All right. I'll do that. All right,
then. Thank you so much. That was Achuke Chude, a public affairs analyst and also a social commentator, having this conversation about Nigeria. I think it's a fine place for us to leave it. We've been able to touch on a lot of things, a lot of things from we started from the insecurity situation in the north in the country, not just in the FCT. We started from the insecurity situation. We also looked at the statement from the former Minister of Digital Economy and Communications, Isaac Mantami, concerning the issue of NIN and SEEN. And we also looked at the humanitarian ministry, Dr. Beta Diedu Gate and the Olubunmi Tunjo Show Ojo scenario. Well, we've been able to talk about a lot of things. And I want to say thank you to all those who joined in on the show. We'll be back on Monday by the special grace of God. It's a fine place for us to leave it. My name is Binga Oreshagun. I'm still the man you just have to love. Good morning and have a beautiful, beautiful Wednesday.
From the Rock City of Nigeria. Rock City of Nigeria. This is Fresh 107.9.
Download the Fresh FM app on your Android phone, tablet to listen to Fresh FM
anywhere in the world.
To download, go to Google Play Store and App Store. Search for Fresh FM Nigeria. Select the icon, tap, and install for free. Follow the on-screen instructions, complete the installation, and get our content anywhere under the sun in real time. The Fresh FM radio app is all in one. You can listen live, watch us live, see our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram posts, and news updates. The Fresh FM Nigeria mobile app can be downloaded on Android and iOS. As you use the Fresh FM app, review and rate our app. We're available 24/7 for more updates. Thank you for choosing Fresh as the best with Oakrest.
Tayo ba sapo ko duro je iwo tete yada so fun wo gbe rose eye to sare bi asako si nile aye e ro ko duro bi tikini wo ko si nile igbo fresh fm lo gore ara ba la lo ole wa ni pa o mi ni ra wa gogo ni baba nla o to ma je te to to ma ko lori e to to fun ni laye o e to to mo do wa do e to to mo ri wa o e to to ma je mo le aje ti mu ba ye professional
Fresh 107.9 FM labẹ oluma won gbọ loke lala egbalawa ilu abẹ okuta
ye o ni kan lo le de o ya je ri ese nye yin ma ko le bere sani be ti se ma gbo re o awon osele to nsele lori odo yala bola lafese gba ese kitan bole leyan lafejo gba lori konkere ta mo si tennis ere daraya ere sisa ati be be lo nikan ni to mile kikiki fresh fm 107.9 to wa ni abi okuta ago mokan lo owuro titi di ago 12 le ma gbo lojo aji ojo monday si ojo abameta saturday akimu shitu ak sports ni o ma jalule se ti gbo wa e sha ti makani to Letente, Lorio Kiyoshoba, Presidential Hilltop, Abiyokuta Lakalesi, AK Sport, Oyami Shonibe.
Fresh FM, Abiyokuta 107.9, Fresh FM 107.9, Abiyokuta.
Ifagbagbaga komese oyo ti bere laarin awon ikan ni tin gbo nsafefe ala ni o foko ole han bi kunoluko bi pakute ni ibile o ti teju lati jiyeke feredu oye o iruku so lala enikan forigbe ikeji fayagba o fese ta se niketa ko to debe elomi gba lowe o mo se o ile ti yo kabakaba o sare dide kawi kafo kafo kawi ta le lege adogbe buru yo yi fresh oge kini oge keji oge keta ariwo ta o ti de waju box eti idoju koju pelu goli
Fresh 107.9.